Well, a very good morning to you. Good morning, good morning. It's lovely to see you this morning. You're very, very welcome to Ballygilbert, especially if you're visiting for Christmas. Maybe you're home to see the folks and spend some time. You're very welcome here this morning. Great to have you with us. We do pray be blessed by our service this morning. This is our little nativity service. So the Lighthouse kids and the junior choir have been working really hard, and they're going to be leading us and taking part in the service today. So thanks to them. Thanks to Natalie, who just coordinates the whole thing like it's nothing. We really, really appreciate it. So we're looking forward to that today. We are back this evening, 7 o'clock, for our 9 lessons and carols. That's a very traditional service, but a wonderful way to spend Christmas Eve as we take that journey from the Old Testament through to the New, and we hear the stories of the Savior's birth and the songs that go with it. So do come along tonight, 7 o'clock, for our 9 lessons and carols, and there's shortbread afterwards as well, so do stay for that. We're back next week. That's the 31st of December. Something a little bit different. I'll be doing my duty over in Second Ards at the end of the year. Here, the elders are going to be taking part in a praise and prayer service. They're going to lead us through various aspects of praying and praising and reflecting on the year that's gone and the one to come. So a little bit different. That'll be a shorter service as well, but do come for that on the 31st, usual time of 11 o'clock. No office hours this week. Christine's on her holidays, but you can get in touch with me directly. My email, my phone number are on the website. Get in touch for anything at all. There's no trouble. I'm not necessarily off this week. I am on duty. There's tea and coffee this morning after the service. Do stay for that if you can. Thanks to Jennifer and Valerie for setting up and serving. We really appreciate that. So do stay afterwards if you can. Okay, I think that's everything. We're going to light our 4th Advent candle ahead of the big one tomorrow. And I'm looking around the congregation and I'm thinking Nicholas McCann had a birthday and he might come light the candle for us. Nick, happy birthday. Come light this candle for us. See if you can do it. Yeah, a lot of pressure. Yeah, your son did a good job last week. So use the clicker. Should be okay. That's a safe pair of hands, isn't it? There we go. Thanks, Nick. Happy birthday. Let's start here this morning. Long, long ago, Isaiah looked for someone who would come and solve all of the world's problems, and he put it this way. To us, a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Folks, we are just blessed to know who that is. It's Jesus, and all our songs, of course, are about him this Christmas time. Let's start. We're going to sing together. We'll stand and sing, Joy Has Dawned Upon the Earth.
Thank you.
gospel, God has promised us that gift. We've sung our response to him. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Great and gracious God, many of us have come to church this morning with real joy. We're excited for tomorrow. We look forward to time off work, time to spend with friends and family, and we're thankful for that. Father, some of us, though, find it all stressful and a worry. We're anxious this morning about all kinds of moments ahead of us in the next few days. But here we are, Lord, and we come to remember the reason for Christmas, Jesus' birth, the life that we should have lived, the death that we should have died, and the eternity secured by the child in the manger. Father God, you maneuvered Caesars and governors to bring your son into the world. So make your moves with us this morning as we gather in and we bring our songs and our prayers and as we consider again your son. For we come and we gather in his name, saying, Amen. Well, every year, Anne gets in touch and says the junior choir are ready and willing, and we appreciate all the work that goes into that. They're going to come and lead us in Born to Bring Us Joy. Does that sound right, girls? Boys? Yep.
Hearing the song that night, came running from Bethlehem's hills to kneel before the baby boy, born to bring us joy.
Singing joy, joy, joy to the world, for Jesus our Savior is born. Joy, joy, joy to the world, he is born to bring us joy.
Well, the boys and girls are going to keep helping us with this story of Christmas. So Natalie's going to get our troops lined up. I think we're going to hear some music.
You're hiding from the storm. Found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town, they did not know that lying in a manger low, a savior king who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story?
Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in his sight. God has come to raise the lowly.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are. It may set you apart. When you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.
Promise tight, every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light. For in his hands he holds tomorrow.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are. It may set you apart. When you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory.
There. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Please Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we can gather here in peace to worship you this Christmas and remember your birth when you came into this world to be our rescuer and our saviour.
Lord, we thank you for all your provision for us, warm homes, food on the table, and loving families who we care for.
Lord, we ask you for help for those who are less fortunate as us, for those families in Northern Ireland who are struggling this Christmas. May they receive the help they need.
Lord, we think of those we know who are ill. Please bring better health and recovery soon. For those who have lost loved ones this year, we pray that they would be surrounded by your comfort and love this Christmas.
Lord, we pray for the people in Israel and Gaza who are suffering so much at this time. Please, Lord, bring peace to this region of the world. Let your light shine in the terrible darkness and suffering there. Help us to be a light for you in the days ahead.
We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're gonna join in singing, "Come and Join the Celebration." Let's stand up and we'll sing together. Great singing. Junior choir are going to come back up. They're going to sing for us again. They're going to sing, "O Holy Night."
Oh, here.
Thanks to Katie Brown. Katie played the music for that, recorded it for us as well. We really appreciate her doing that for us. And thanks to Anne. Good job, Anne. You made it. We're going to throw out your order of service because it's all over the place at the minute in my head. Why don't we do the offering, Helen? Can we do that? Yeah, we're going to sing Mary's Boy Child. Abby and Ian are going to help us lift the offering. Let's give God our offering, because this is something the church family does every week. If you're visiting this morning, maybe you're not prepared for that, don't worry, it's not a problem, but we'll give God our offering as we sing Mary's Boy Child. Thanks to the choir for absolutely carrying us through that. We appreciate it. I've screwed up the guys in the desk. They do a great job this morning. Appreciate all your help, boys. But that's probably my fault this morning. Why don't we pray together? We want to pray for our world, for our own country as well, and for ourselves. That's not a bad thing to do. So let's pray. Dear God, this week we could pray for a while about our world. And we might be tempted to complain about war and famine, about shootings in Prague, the tempestuous politics of Northern Ireland, or just the busyness of this time of year. But you've told us that these are the things that should drive us to you. So we do pray for peace in the East this Christmas, in Russia, the Ukraine, for the Palestinians and the Israelis. May there be enough quiet and talking to allow aid through to the neediest. We ask for the bereaved in the Czech Republic to know some peace in their grief. Father, shootings like this are so rare in Europe, So we also pray that in our anger and confusion, help us to be a praying people and a patient church as we continue to wait for your son to return. And for our little island, we pray that our politics might take on a new life in 2024. Father, we need money. We need fair wages. We need an end to strikes. And we need real leaders who will go last instead of putting themselves first. It all seems too much to ask for, but we ask, knowing that it all has to sit under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Might we see his name loved and cherished again in this land. And we pray that you would inspire us in your church to go first in these things. Help us to know revival in our hearts. Trust us with it in Northern Ireland. And may we all learn the lessons of grace. Father, we need that because we have many in our church family who are struggling. We have worries in our homes for our spouses and our children. We have fears around cancer and just general poor health. So calm us, equip us with faith and trust, and remind us this time of year that light always defeats darkness. This is the time of year when we see it the most, and yet, Father, you're always faithful to your word. So hear our prayers, Lord, for we do send them through your Son. Bend our prayers and our lives to your will and for his glory. Amen. Well, true humility is exceptionally rare, isn't it? It's been said that humility is so shy that when it's mentioned, it leaves the room. It runs away. Whenever anyone talks about humility, it can't be found. It's a rare and delicate thing. And yet there are stories of humility that leak out into the world. This coming year, there's a new film coming out about a man called Nicholas Winton. Has anyone heard of Nicholas Winton? Some of us have. We're going to try a little short clip to show you a little bit of his life rather than me explaining it to you. Go for it, David.
All the children. This is Vera Dearmont, now Vera Gissing. We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton.
Hello. And it was just so wonderful, so terribly, terribly touching.
Is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please?
David. In case you weren't quite following there, Nicholas Winton, Sir Nicholas Winton, saved the lives of 669 Jewish children in Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia. Those were the children who stood up there. He never told anybody. He never even told his wife. And yet all those people were saved by him. Folks, isn't it amazing what can happen in the quiet, in secret, in humility? And that's what we look at Christmas, isn't it? The Christmas story is the same. Maybe I could show you that this morning. Jesus knows about humble circumstances. He knows about humility. Some read the first bit of Jesus' story as pure history. They see the name of an emperor, a ruling governor, a census, the town of Bethlehem. And it's easy to see that it's historical. Here it is for you. Very factual and names and places, and it happened this time of year and all of that. I read that at Christmas time and I see humility. Caesar Augustus is mentioned there, not to give us a timeline, but to give us a contrast with Joseph and the child about to be born. Though Joseph was of the house and line of David, a pretty impressive king, he follows the law and he goes at the behest of a ruling dictator to Bethlehem to register. And it's more than that. Though Jesus is the Prince of Heaven, in his Father's plan, he will be born in one of the humblest places there was, and a stable, the spare room of some house, he'll be laid in a manger wrapped in simple cloths. Humility. Very humble circumstances. And a bit like Nicholas Winton, hardly anybody noticed. When the children's writer Sally Lloyd-Jones writes about this moment, she says this: the world was about to change forever, and it almost went by unnoticed. It almost went by unnoticed. I wonder what we're supposed to do with that information. Does Jesus' humility inspire me to be more humble? Am I supposed to sing in response to this? Well, those aren't terrible ideas. We've done some of that this morning already. But I think we need more than that. I need more than that. What if we read this really well-worn page of our Bibles again and saw how God will go to the worst places to save us? Despite being the maker of the universe, Jesus will enter the world he made in a feeding trough because his love has no limits. And then we in the church have to do the same. We can celebrate another Christmas if we want. We can enjoy the readings and the carols and the presents and the food, the family gatherings. But if we miss the point that we are to be humble ourselves all the way to the dark and hard places, then we might wonder what the point is. What's it really all about? You know, visiting nursing homes is not my favorite thing to do. They are all different. Some are good. Some are bad. Some smell funny. Sometimes the residents can be noisy. They're crying out in all sorts of need and distress. It's not pleasant. But when you make it through to a room of someone and you hold their hand and you get to hear about their hopes and their fears, how they love their families, how proud they are, when you get to pray with them, you taste the gospel. You get a whiff of grace. It's humbling. Humility should inspire us to do something, to act. You'll say sorry to your friend. You'll do it because you're humble. You'll feed the homeless. You'll sacrifice your day off to go and see someone who needs you. You'll volunteer in church. Even if you don't think that's your thing, you'll do it anyway. You'll know what that is, what I'm talking about, in your own heart. You know that thing, that hard thing you don't want to do, that you're not looking forward to? Well, this humility should inspire us to do it anyway. Does the humility of Jesus Christ do anything for us this morning? Because I think it will inspire us, or it will shame us. Those are really the only two options this morning. Let me say this, though, to you. It can be done. Don't think, well, hey, it's okay for Jesus. He's Jesus because his humanity matches yours. While it's an amazing, awe-inspiring, true story, it's told with real humanity. It's not maybe what you first think. It's easy to think of Jesus, the baby in the manger, and think, well, there, that's it. It's human. It's so human. But I think in our story this morning, it's with Joseph and Mary that we see real life. We don't hear anything here about the Mary who's about to burst, needing a place to stay. You know that picture in your mind at Christmas? They're going from door to door. She's going to drop at any minute. That's not in the Bible. Not that. That's not here. There's no horrible innkeeper, by the way, either, refusing them at the last minute. He's not in the Bible. I don't know why we keep doing that. It's not here. But we do see a very human situation. What is that saying? Is it factual? Is it history? There's a census. He has to go register. Yeah, fair enough. I see a young man engaged to his girlfriend who's pregnant, and it's not his. Could it be, folks, that Joseph brings Mary with him because the looks in Nazareth were getting a bit much? Was there more and more talk in the market town about Mary? Did you hear? Was she starting to show? Was it getting more and more difficult to keep that a secret? It's so human, isn't it? And then we remember, this is Jesus' family. You know, the church has not been good at this sort of thing. From the atrocities of the Catholic laundries and the troubled girls' homes, to the shunning of single mothers, from the putting out of daughters who fall pregnant by so-called religious families, to abortion as the world's answer to this problem, as if it's a problem. The church has a terrible record, and yet here in the origin story of our Lord, the Savior, is this exact thing. It is so human. I mean, talk about missing the point. We said last week, great things come from small and noble beginnings. Remember that? Bethlehem. Today we add that Jesus humbles himself down to our level so that he can truly save us. Not so that you and I can judge people better. And we're to include ourselves in that analysis. We are the us in God with us. Christmas is as divine as it is human. It is as human as it is divine. And our lives are like that. And not just at Christmas. Someone has said the greatest threat to Christmas is not consumerism or secular media, but our own boredom with the most magnificent story ever told. So are we bored by this? Have we had too many Christmases? Is this boring? Or do we realize that this is the story of finding a place in the world, finding home? It's not for nothing that Jesus is born in the guest room. I wonder if you saw that in our reading. While we were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. We knew that. She wrapped him in cloths. We've heard of that too. She placed him in a manger. Great. Because there was no guest room available for them. Guest room is where we get the idea of no room at the inn. I always thought it was strange there was no room at the inn. Not just because the New Testament doesn't really say that, but because the whole point of an inn is to accommodate people. The normal word for inn means all welcome. Come on in. But that's not Luke's word. Luke uses a word closer to guest room. It's the same word used of the upper room where Jesus celebrated his last supper, his final Passover. Which means what? Why should we care about that? It means that Jesus never enjoyed the all are welcome of the inn. He didn't get the everyone can come in here. He gets to borrow a room. In fact, he says this himself later in Luke's gospel. He says, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And if you come back tonight for the carol service, you'll hear that same idea in our carol service. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This is like me going to my mum's on Boxing Day, knocking the door, and mum saying, no, you can't come in. That's my family. That's my old house. That's mine. And I don't get to go in. It can look like the Savior couldn't find a home when he first came. But the reality, folks, this morning is that he came not to find a home, but to find us and help us find our home in him. This is the core language of the gospel. Yes, it's grace and hope and joy and contentment. Those are brilliant things, but it's signposting the way home to the Father who used to walk in the garden with us. No room for the Savior at Christmas. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He came to his own, but they didn't recognize him. That is not the end of the story. Here's the end of the story. And listen to the terms Jesus puts this in. On this Sunday, with the manger and the guest room front and center in our minds, listen to what home is. Listen to the way Jesus speaks about it. He says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place, a home for you? And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. No room at Christmas? Fair enough. Jesus says, my Father's house has many rooms. We're all trying to find a place to call home. Jesus says it's him. Folks, that's Christmas. That is Christmas. I hope you have a happy one. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get to relax. I hope you find a home. Let me pray for us. Father, would you humble us with your Son's humility this Christmas? Perhaps in him we could see that we're the ones who need to find him, to find a home with you. But that's our prayer for ourselves and for all that we know and love, and all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing Joy to the World. Let's share the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Folks, do grab a seat. There's tea and coffee after the service this morning if you're not rushing off. Love to spend some time with you. We're back tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Very reasonable. Christmas jumper competition will be on. We'll find out who got up earliest as well. And the boys and girls can bring something along and show us what they got on Christmas Day. So 10:30 tomorrow. Carol service tonight at 7. Tea and coffee out the back.